Okay. When you walked out of the shop that day, what exactly did you want? Now you said earlier that you wanted better conditions, but what exactly?
A union share.
What specifically did you want?
I wanted a union share because a lot of small places were getting signed up with the union.
And what kinds of things did you see happening to those shops that got the union?
Well, I was told that they have better conditions and the foremans are nicer to the people because they have a representative, a union representative, a chairman there.
What were those nicer conditions, like the shorter hours or more
shorter
pay?
Shorter hours and more pay and nicer, cleaner places to work. And the management was much nicer to the people.
Were these union shops before you went on strike? I mean, had you heard about them before you thought about going on strike and you said, you know?
No, I heard people talk about union shops. I heard people talk about it.
What it was going to be like?
More money, yes, that they earn more money and it's nicer to work for them, it's shorter hours. So I decided to walk out and have a union shop by us too, but we lost.
Were these union people that were telling you this? Were these people that were organizing, or?
Yeah, the organizers were telling us that it pays to have a union shop and we work shorter hours.
Did anybody else talk to you about things like that besides the union people?
We have meetings in the halls. And we have prominent people to talk to us. And
are these people in government or?
They weren't government people. I doubt that they were government people. They were. We had the prominent people like Clarence Darrow talk to us, and many other people, Samuel Levin and Rosenblum. They were already in a place that it was a union. It wasn't much of a union shop, but they were organized much better than we were.
Was that Hart and Sheppner?
Sheppner and Marks, yeah.
Was that whole shop there unionized or just?
Well, the Hart, Sheppner and Marks was unionized at that time, but they still were not 100%. As later, they got to be more unionized. The management could do a little bit more with them, get away a little bit different with them. But the wages were much better, and the hours were less. The hours they work.
I remember you saying also that day that you heard the whistle and you walked out that you were a little
bit
afraid.
Yeah, I had made up with them. As I said before, the shop was just across the street from the Cutters, and on their lunch hour, they used to go out and stay outside. So I went out on my lunch hour, and I always walked around them, the boys there. I was a tomboy. I always walked around there and talked to them and wanted to know what it was all about. And
Now you said that they, you know, that they supported you.
Yeah.
Now also we were talking earlier, and one time you mentioned that a lot of the women that came over from Europe were unskilled, and a lot of the men that came over were skilled and were tailor shops, you know, in tailor shops and stuff. Why would you suppose that they would be interested in helping you organize if basically you were a shop of women and that you were unskilled? Why do you think that it would be a benefit for them to help you out?
You mean the boys outside?
Uh-huh.
Well, they were interested in the union, to unionize the shops. The Cutters were interested in to unionize the shops. They helped out in the strike, an awful lot of Cutters. They helped a lot.
What exactly did they do?
They were most of them were our leaders. Rosenblum was a Cutter. Sam Rissman was a Cutter. And Geyer was a Cutter, and they helped us organize. They helped all the strikers.
How did they help specifically? Were they out on the picket line with you?
Yes, they used to go on the picket line. They used to go on the picket line, and they talked for us in the union. They talked for us in the union. Sam Levine talked for us in the union. Rosenblum talked for us in the union. And we had many other people talk for us in the union.
Did your foreman ever know that you were planning to walk out before it happened?
No.
How did you get away with that?
Well, I just walked out and...
But I mean, how...
I went down and I spoke to the boys and I told the boys they should give us a whistle and I'll tell the people.
Yeah. But I mean, before all that happened, how were you able to talk to all the people in your shop and still not have the foreman?
Well,
I had
one fella, Louis, he was an Italian fella, a very nice fella, and he had ideas of union shops already. He was the only one that I could talk. And he converted the rest of the people, Italian girls and the men. He talked to them. I talked to Louis, and I told him I was in the union, and I talked to the boys, and they're going to have a whistle tomorrow. When they're going to whistle tomorrow from across the street, we should all get up and walk out. And that's what we did.
Louis knew Italian and talked to all the Italian people there.
And I talked to the other people. We had a couple of Polish girls and Jewish, very few Jewish people worked there.
Were you sure of all of them? Were you sure that none of them would go to the foreman and tell them that you were trying to organize in the shop?
There were a lot of them were discussing, too, with the company. They somehow... they were eager to have a union shop.
All of them were?
Yeah. And it was like an epidemic. It was, all the shops were out in the city. So we wanted to be out too.
Did you like talk to these people on your lunch hour or how exactly did you?
Yes, we did talk to them.
When?
We were afraid to talk on the lunch hour outside. Before we came up or when we were going home.
Was there any opportunity to talk to them while you were working?
No, we were afraid to. The foreman was watching us. They were watching us. They were kept on walking around. They were two brothers, C.B. Shane. There was two brothers, and there was another man. And they kept on walking. There were three of them, three bosses. And they kept on walking all day in the shop and looking in here. They were walking around like this here.
Did they always do that?
Yeah.
Do you think that when all the shops start going on strike that they were getting a little more nervous maybe? Were they watching you a little closer?
I don't know. They walked around. They always used to walk around like this here, look here and look there and look there and all over. They were looking all over.
So you just talked to people when you left the shop at night?
Yeah, we talked to the people at night and in the morning. We used to stay downstairs.
How long did that take you? How many days did you spend getting ready to walk out?
The strike lasted, I think, 12 weeks, I think, the last of the strike.
Uh-huh.
And we were out in a few days. We were out a few days or a week or so.
Didn't you say that you went out and you walked out in groups? That you went out the first day with a few people and then a few people came out the next day?
Well, there's always, when in a strike, they don't walk out all of them together. Some of them go out and some of them stay inside. And we talked when we were picketing, we kept on talking to the people. By then they come out on strike and they joined us.
When they came?
Some of them came and some of them stayed there with you.
Did most of the people that walked out with you go to the picket line with you?
Yeah. Not all of them. Some of them were with us and some of them were not.
Some of them
but I was there 3 times a day. In the morning, in the afternoon, and in the evening. And each time I was arrested. I was put in the paddy wagon, each time.
What kinds of, you know, the union was basically only operating, you know, out of Hart, Schaffner, and Marx at that time?
At that time, Hart, Schaffner, and Marx was the only one that was organized.
So there must have been some issue with funds. Did you get any money at all, or how did these people
I
survive?
Never got anything. The only thing that I got was my glasses were broke once. A woman was fighting with me. I was talking to her about going down on strike, and she just slapped me, and my glasses fell down and broke. So they bought me new glasses. I ordered a pair of glasses, and they gave me a check for the glasses. The union gave me a check for glasses. Mr. Snyder was that time in charge of our name. And I was told that they had sandwiches they used to pass around. I never got anything.
Did a lot of... You know, was there money provided for these people that went out on strike? Did people donate money, or how did they survive for those 12 weeks?
Well, it was hard. It was hard. Some of them used to get sweet rolls and coffee. Some fellas used to take us for coffee. And
but that means, you know, they couldn't do that for everyone, was it?
Well, I was told that somebody used to get sandwiches, even sandwiches to take home, but I never got anything, so I don't know. I used to come in the morning, and sometimes my aunt would give me a sandwich, and sometimes she didn't give me a sandwich. So, what's her name? One of the girls that you were going to see her, Irene. Irene and I used to go, so there was one of the men that he was sent in from Baltimore to organize, to help to organize, an Italian fellow, a very nice man. And he used to take us for coffee, for breakfast, for lunch, he used to take us, both of us. She would go up to him and say, Mr. Stone, shall I mention his name? He's dead anyway. Mr. Belanco. Mr. Belanco, Larry didn't eat yet. So he would take us for breakfast or for lunch.
I'm still really curious though, Lottie, how you were surviving. I mean, you lived with your aunt and she was poor. You no longer had a job where you were making
money. She used to borrow money for food at that time. For food, for a dress she borrowed money, and for coal, they had somebody in the coal business, so that they used to get coal, and then when the uncle started working, so they paid up their debts and so on.
It was. But I mean, they borrowed money for you?
Yeah,
Did they support you? What was their attitude about this whole thing? Were they upset the first day that you came home and told them you'd walked out of the shop?
I don't know. I don't think that they were so surprised. They knew that I wasn't making much. They knew I wasn't making much. So there was no surprise to it. And
had you talked about it with them at all before it happened?
No.
Did you tell me what
they were
thinking
about? I didn't tell them anything. When I was on strike, I told them I was on strike, and that's all. At night, we had a meal, and my aunt used to make whatever she made. She made something to eat. At night and during the day, we used to get in the hall. Somebody would take us for a cup of coffee and a sweet roll. Mr. Belanco used to take us off a lot for lunch and for dinner. For lunch, breakfast, he used to take us.
Lottie, was there anybody else in your life, like in your family or friends or whoever, that wasn't necessarily on the picket line with you and wasn't with the union that really supported you?
No.
Or on the other hand, that, you know, that was really against what you were doing?
Well, in the house, nobody worked at that time in the house. My uncle didn't work, I didn't work, and my aunt was borrowing money. She had a family, which they were better off than she was. They were rich. The family was rich, of course, of the uncle's family. And they borrowed the money, and then they paid up. And uncle stopped working, and the children stopped working. And
but I mean, who,
my aunt paid up.
Not necessarily who helped you out with money and food and stuff, but were there any people that were really in support of you when you were out on the
Nobody field? Helped me. Nobody helped.
Didn't you? Didn't that bother
I was willing.
You?
I was willing that time to do almost anything, to make a few dollars. That's the way I was hired out. But I wanted to stick out and see the result. What's going to happen?
Were there a lot of people that were against you being on strike?
No. Why should they be against me? I was at that time. I was in the company of workers, and they all strike. They were just as bad off as I was. I used to come in here. There was another family that I used to come in, and I used to get a meal from. It was Rose. She married Mr. Bender, Abe Bender. She married later, and she was in the house. She had a mother and a father, and she had a couple of sisters and one brother. And I used to come into their house, and the mother, they liked me awful lot. And I used to get a meal by them sometimes.
Lottie, you said that finally that you lost the strike.
We lost, yeah. We lost Mrs. Abramovich, Bessie Abramovich. She later became Mrs. Hillman. She came to us to the meeting and said we should go back to work.
To a hall?
Yeah.
How did you feel at that moment?
Well,
were
we cried.
Upset?
We all cried. We were all upset. And there was nothing else to be done for us. But we knew that we were going to tackle them sometimes again. So,
Were you still happy with the union, or did you feel that they had let you down? Or
no, the union helped me. Even if I lost the strike, they placed.
How had they helped you?
Well, they placed us in. There was only a Hashem and Max at that time. It was signed up, and they placed most of the people in Hashem and Max, and some of the people went back to the shops. But I was blackmailed. Irene and Rose were blackmailed. So the union sent us in to Har Chapner Max. Irene and Rose were sent in. Rose Bender, at that time it wasn't Bender. She wasn't married yet. She was sent in to downtown to a shop, Har Chapner Max. And I was sent in on 19 in Halsted. And Spitzer worked over there. And the Spitzer was told that I was a good striking girl, he should take care of me. So over there, they taught me how to work cuffs, pants cuffs. I think I told you the last time about it. And I was doing operating, it's called on a special machine, bobbin felling. And I was doing that, bobbin felling. And I made pretty good. I worked there a few years. I worked there from 15 to 18.
There was a big organizing drive going on at that time, wasn't there, after the strike?
After the strike in 18.
How were you active in that?
In 18 I was married already and I was going to have a baby. So I quit. My husband went to the army. My husband went to the army.
But wasn't there a lot of union activity going on between 1915 and 18? Hadn't they started to?
They tried to organize in the QT, but nobody striked. From 15 to 18, it was again a big strike. But not, at that time already, they didn't strike very long because they signed up, most of them signed up, and the organization moved those that organized, the organizers, moved to New York to organize New York shops.
So that what, there wasn't much activity in Chicago?
There was activities, there was. In the 18, most of the shops were unionized in the 18, most of the shops. See, between 15 and 18, we had time enough to prepare for another strike. But that strike didn't last very long. They signed up. Most of them signed up without any commotion.
What specifically were you doing with the union during that time? Besides just
I was away from there. I was away. I quit. I was married in 17.
But I mean, well, okay, between 15 and 18, though, like when you went back to work, were you doing any organizing work for the union at that time, as soon as you got your new job?
Yeah, whenever they wanted me to go, I went. I helped them. I helped them. I was trustee at that time, and I used to go to meetings, and I was told many things to do, so I did whatever they wanted me to do, I did. But most of them talked to people. We talked to people a lot about union shops, what it means, the union shops, and so on.
Were you getting, you also mentioned one time earlier that you weren't very politically active, when the Socialist Party started coming in and stuff like that, at first you weren't involved. Did you start getting active with those groups after the strike?
After the strike, we had Rodriguez was running on the socialist ticket in the 15th ward for all the men.
When was this?
I think it was in 16 or so, 15, 16 it was. And I helped him. I went around with leaflets. I went to distributes, and I talked to people on the corners. I talked to people. We even were assigned to go to the houses too to talk to people, and we talked about them about how conditions would be better if we're going to have a socialist. And he was, I think, twice alderman in the 15th ward, Rodriguez. And then Cunean was running for under. Was it Cunean now? We had a few socialists running for congressman, and we worked for them. And the union was socialistic too. But most of them were socialistic inclined.
Did he
had a lot of anarchists too at that time. A lot of anarchists too in the union.
When you went out on strike in 15, did you know anybody on the picket line from the IWW?
No, but we had people that used to help us picketing from the IWW.
In that strike?
Yes. We had a lot of people helping us picketing.
Lottie, I remember you saying once that, you know, when I was asking you how you found out about how all the shops were walking out and stuff, that sometimes you would read it in the newspaper, that you used to read the Examiner and hear about, you know, all these shops that were going out on strike. What else, what other kinds of things were happening in Chicago at that time? What else were you reading about?
Well, I wasn't interested to read other things that I can't remember, but about the strike, I was interested to know what's going on, what they have to say about the strikers all the time.
What did they say?
The city was against. Most of them were against. The newspapers were not for the workers. Most of it, like the Examiner, the American, they were not for the workers. They were most of them for capital, for the manufacturing. They were. They were not in the favor of the strikes.
You mentioned once that Hull House was helping you out. Were there other whole groups?
A lot of women society people used to help us out, go on the picketing with us. I had an awful lot of women from the Hull House going on the de-picketing.
Were there other groups that were helping out besides the Hull House?
Well, they were affiliated with the Hull House. Those people were affiliated with the Hull House, like the societies. They were Elegate Star and the Robbins and the one was a Mrs. Lilly. From the McCormicks, even from the McCormicks, the Harvesters, they were people in the city, in the Hull House, and they helped us out too. An awful lot of women helped us out. I remember we had a professor from the Northwestern, I think. He was a Russian teacher in the Northwestern. I can't remember if it was Northwestern or Chicago University. And he, his wife and a daughter, a lovely young daughter, and the daughter was going to university too. And they went with us on the picket line, and they were with us a lot.